Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. You are halfway through the week, and we appreciate you choosing our program today to listen to. We are waiting on the ruling for Trump's gag order. Once again, when it comes to these gag orders, everyone is allowed to speak freely about Trump and about anything pertaining to Trump or his life or his hush money scandals or his family. You can say whatever you want. But if he points out a conflict of interest, and in the case of the judge Merchant, there certainly is a conflict of interest, well, then that's a problem. And Merchant, by the way, if you guys don't remember this, I know there's so many different trials, but you probably do. You guys are also sharp. Merchant is the one, the judge, who has a daughter, Lauren Merchant. She's an adult, by the way. The way they make it seem is like Trump goes after judge's daughter as if she's like a 15-year-old. She's an adult who has worked at companies, specifically one company, Authentic Campaigns, a digital campaign company that has helped Trump-hating Democrats like Adam Schiff, like Kamala Harris, like Joe Biden, fundraise off of Trump's court cases. So that's the conflict of interest. Now, if that doesn't qualify, then I don't know what does. But then again, I would have thought the Fannie Willis thing was pretty cut and dry as far as conflict of interest. And the judge in that case, Scott McAfee, basically split the baby and said, you can stay on as long as you fire your ex-boyfriend. As long as the cabin booker does something else for a while, works 24/7 for some other company for the time being. So I don't really know what rises to conflict of interest, but I'm almost certain that this is not going to play out well for Trump today, mostly because there was reports out yesterday that Trump's lawyers were being told by the judge that they were losing credibility when talking about Trump's violation of this gag order. So Judge Merchant telling Trump lawyers they're losing credibility. Pot meat kettle is the only way I could describe that. I don't think the gag order ruling is going to bode well for Trump, but you know what? I've been wrong before, so we shall see. And the second we find out about it, we will let you know. Also in Trump news, and I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, because I'm very hopeful, actually, for November. I'm hopeful, Jared, only because I don't see another way. Like, I almost, you know when you can't allow your brain to go someplace? I can't allow my brain to go to the place where there's four more years of this. And that's what I wanted to start with today. I have now, and trust me, part of me thinks that we've all developed a thicker skin, especially from the last loss in 2020. You know, Jared, when in Boston, before we had won anything, like before the Red Sox reversed the curse, you had been conditioned to losing in a way where you could take it. Like I was so bummed out in 2020 that I thought, I'm never going to let myself get that personally invested in something like this ever again. I'm going to care. It's my job. But I'm not going to hang all my hopes and dreams on something. I'm not going to let myself emotionally be disappointed based off politics. And I think for part of me that is true. But the difference this time around is I'm just going to be very concerned about how we go on. Like when Biden won, when all the networks, starting with Fox, announced that Biden was the president on November 7th of 2020, I was mad. And I was frustrated, but I thought we would survive it. And look at us. I mean, we're hanging on by a thread, but we're here. If he wins again, I just don't know. It's all coming to a head. in a way that makes me very nervous. And I said this to my husband, because my husband sometimes will say, like, you know, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, he goes into that thing. And I say, you know, every generation has said this. Everyone in our age group for the last 100 years has felt like, look at the whole world's gone to bleep. Everything's ruined. We're not going to survive another 4 years. Everybody feels that way. So I do come at it from that perspective, Jared, where I go, maybe this is just their tradition of being a 30, 40, 50-something-year-old where you look at the younger generation and you think, wow, we're screwed, and then everything ends up being okay. It's like when you wanted to listen to something and your parents said, ugh, that music's trash. And then their parents, when they were listening to Elvis, said, ugh, that music's trash. It just goes on and on and on, and the world continues. So this is my question for the audience. Is it different this time? Is this different than whatever the hoopla was when you were young or when your parents were young? Do you sense that we are actually, not in the hyperbolic way that they say on MSNBC, not even in the hyperbolic way that conservatives have said, is there something to be concerned about? Or do you think that these United States of America will be just fine with another 4 years of Biden? Can we withstand it? Did the founding fathers do that good of a job that they have prepared us for another 4 years of this utter disaster?
Well, the difference this time is previously there wasn't 50 years of Marxist communists who infiltrated the United States government and have been slowly destroying the nation since the 93rd Congress, I believe, in 1973. Once it got rid of Nixon, it was all Marxism, all communism all the time. Reagan was a reprieve, but they've been on this cultural revolution train for 50 years, and now they have two generations behind them and a bunch of people, thanks to 8 years of Obama, that hate this country and want to destroy it.
That's what
in positions of power.
Ben Weingarten wrote the same thing today on Twitter. He said this is 8 years.
I didn't even read Ben, but yeah. I'm glad he agrees with me.
Great minds.
Because Ben Weingarten needs my approval.
But he said 8 years of the Obama administration, chickens coming home to roost. And you're absolutely right. And so that brings us, well, first, before I go into that, I just want to say Trump last night in Pennsylvania, here was the Debbie Downer news that just sent me on that tangent. Primary last night in Pennsylvania, Nikki Haley got 155,000 votes. So Pennsylvania must be like never Trumper land if Nikki Haley's bringing in that many votes. Wasn't a great night for Trump. Of course, Scranton Joe shouldn't be celebrating either because the uncommitted vote continues to plague him. Last I checked, the tally was around 36,000 people voting no Joe, uncommitted, whatever you want to write in there, you know, go Gaza or, you know, pro-Palestinian. They also, this same group of Death to America voters, they continue to make waves on college campuses, which is part of this conversation that we're having about this indoctrination, how it's reached this fever pitch. And Columbia is now trying to negotiate with the Hamas-loving activists in New York. And the school announces today that they will be giving the students another 48 hours to wrap it up, basically.
We're going to count to three.
Another 48 hours to disassemble the tents, put the posters away, put the yarn away. Do you see the yarn video of the dancers?
Yes. Yeah.
You know what these protesters would have been really great for? Like they're really meant to be. And I guess you could say this is what we're looking at, but I watch a lot of cult documentaries. I watch a lot of documentaries how it would be like, this cult came through this random town in Texas and took over, and soon the whole town was wearing purple shirts and praying to a turquoise, you know, elephant or whatever. These protesters dancing through yarn on the Columbia campus, they all give me Manson vibes. Like, they're all these wannabe cultists. They just haven't found the right cult. So they've chosen, okay, we'll go with the cult of being chameleon activists and whatever the activism du jour is, we will pick up our posters and our signs and our yarn and we'll go for it. So Columbia is trying to negotiate with these people. And the school announced that they'll be giving the students another 48 hours to dismantle the encampments. And they made important, this is what they told us. They said, we made important progress with the representatives of the student encampment. We're going to give them another 48 hours for good behavior. We're very impressed that no one has called a Jewish person a pig in the last 3 hours. So we're going to give them, because they're being so sweet, they haven't heckled any Jews lately. It's been a whole 15 minutes, and no one's been called a pig. We're going to give them another 2 days to keep up these tents. The students now, though, Jared, the students are a little bit harder to please. The school is very easy to impress. The school's sitting here like, bravo. You know, guys, we're really happy with what we're seeing. We're seeing quite a turnaround. Now, the students, not capitulating. The students are not bending for this administration, the school. They're not so impressed. They're actually very triggered that the school threatened to bring in the National Guard. Not that they actually did, Jared, but just the threat alone has sent these students into a tizzy. So now what they want, because they're calling the shots, not just at Columbia, but across the country. They're calling the shots. The spoiled brats have taken over the country, and they're getting their way. It's the most obvious analogy, but it does work. It's like if you have a small child and you continue to appease them every time they threaten to have a temper tantrum, and you go, okay, just don't cry. I'll get you the ice cream. Please, just don't cry. You will create a monster. Soon you will have no power. You will become you're just constantly trying to placate this little beast, this little terror. And that's what's happening here. So now the students, the pro-Hamas students, want in writing from the school that neither the NYPD nor the National Guard will be unleashed on their peaceful, Jew-hating, riot-filled cult meetings. They need it in paper. They need it in writing. I love one of my favorite memes to come out of this, and people keep sending it to me. It just says, so it's a tweet from some guy, and he goes, so do we pay off their student loans before or after they chant death to America? That's the cherry on top of all this insanity. You know, we're talking about whether or not we can withstand this for another 4 years. We can withstand Joe Biden's fecklessness in supporting and encouraging and empowering these American-hating students. I love that meme. So do we pay off their student loans before or after they chant death to America? Because not only do these students hate Israel, they hate America. They want to topple the Western world. And they want to do it on your dime. Pony up, people. Destroying these United States ain't cheap. It's going to cost you. Open up that wallet. Because getting a degree in I hate Jews is very expensive. And someone's got to pay for it. And it's going to be you. Do you have a mirror? If you're driving in your car, give yourself a glance. Because you're the one who's going to be paying for all of this. 844-500-4242. We've got so much great sound. Actually, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, of all people, managed to have on a good guest. And actually managed to ask him good questions. I don't know what's happening. What do they say, Jared? Is Mercury in retrograde or something? Is the moon...
Yeah, it was a good segment, but give her 10 minutes and Mika will start waxing stupid about Florida undo all of it.
I did see that. But you know what? I'll take what I can get. Somebody has a really good professor on, this guy Scott Galway, professor at NYU. He was excellent. This was one of the best sound cuts I've heard. I mean, it's only Wednesday, but so far this week. Listen up, everyone. You've waited through the cold temps in February and the rainy weather in March. Now the longer, warmer days are finally on their way. Spring means more flowers and sunshine. Unfortunately, it can also mean pollen, allergies. People are saying this season for allergies is the worst they've seen in a very long time. Now, what you can do is get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It can eliminate any pollutants or allergens floating around in the air. And with the 3-pack special, you don't have to move your thunderstorm from spot to spot. You can put one in your house, one in your car, one in your office. I really like it in the office because we have windows that can't open. I know a lot of people have that. And this is a really nice way so the air doesn't get stagnant. It keeps things moving. It keeps everybody's cubicles or, you know, their own offices very fresh. The air feels clean. And you can enjoy this beautiful time of year without having to reach for the tissues. The 3-pack special is such a great deal. I want my listeners to get their hands on it before it ends. So here's what you need to do. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACE and the number 3. Say hello to spring and goodbye to allergens. Get the 3-pack today when you go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code GRACE3. Here's my question for all of you. how do you feel about November? That's number one. And if, and I know we don't even want to go there, but if by chance Joe Biden manages another 4 years, what are we looking at? What are you predicting? First of all, we're never going to see him. We barely see him now, but he's really going to go into the basement if he wins again. But this is just a hypothetical I've been putting off for a long time, and I do feel like it's, unfortunately, time we discuss it. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. By the way, that tweet that I had referenced was by the Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden. He was the one who said, do we pay for their student loans before or after they chant death to America? And fun fact, that Navy SEAL was married by the same deacon who married Will and I. That's the real claim to fame here. That's the important part of this story. David, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Before we do the poll question, what's going on, David?
Well, I been concerned about, threats to democracy and all, and it's made its way down to the to the town level. So we had a town meeting in Massachusetts this past week, where there was a warrant item to eliminate trucks on a particular road, and the chief of police got up and said, "I don't care if you pass it. I'm going to instruct my officers to not enforce it." And so it didn't matter what the town had to say.
Why did they want to ban certain trucks from a road? You got to give me a little bit more info here.
Well, trucks were using it as a pass through a kind of a residential area. And, there was no reason for them to be doing that. They could stick to major roads and not be a problem. Just the fact that the chief of police was going to decide what the law was going to be, regardless of what the citizens decided.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, in Milton, the town I live in, everybody voted for not to authorize this MBTA zoning thing, and now Maura Healey's threatening to do it anyway. She's going to find like a roundabout way to do it, and I just keep going, why did we vote on this? Like,
#democracy.
What was the point of voting if you're going to do it anyway? And I think Campbell's like suing. Well, why do we have a vote on this thing if you guys were just going to get your way and tell us the vote didn't mean anything? You seemed like you thought the vote meant something before you didn't get the result you wanted. You were all out there campaigning, vote yes, vote yes. It was so important to vote yes until everybody voted no, and then that didn't mean anything anyway. It's just kind of the way it goes. Speaking of the police, though, I'm really glad he brought up the police because I have a lot to say on that front. There is an update. Remember when Joe Biden told us that he was the candidate who the police were backing? He was the pro-police candidate. He actually said that recently in a statement. And I have two stories that do not look good for Joe. One especially out of Syracuse. He's supposed to go to Syracuse. They had two officers killed in the last week. Two. And the town is just absolutely reeling. The town is just so upset. The city is so upset. And Biden's supposed to go there to promote a Chips and Science Act. And the head of the police union was like, "Can you give us a minute? Can you not come here when we're all so distraught over this?" He said, "This is the worst week of most of our lives. And you're going to show up to brag about the Chips and Science Act? Like, maybe wait, maybe take a beat." The timing of this administration never ceases to amaze. We'll be right back. We will talk about that. We'll do the poll question. We'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We just got a call from Janet, who wanted to let us know that Marshfield just voted this down as well. And actually, as much as I usually have to brush up on local stuff, because I tend to always go for national, and I love it, but I know that I have to be better about keeping you guys informed about what's happening in the crazy state known as Massachusetts. I did know about this because my aunt and uncle live in Marshfield, Marsh Vegas, as they call it. And she sent me a clipping today. I'm guessing it's from the Boston Herald. And it said that exact thing. Let me just read you a little bit from it here. It says, Marshfield latest to reject T-zoning. Marshfield appears unlikely to draw a state lawsuit right away. After its town meeting on Monday reportedly rejected a plan that would have complied with new zoning requirements for communities near MBTA service. Well, Marshfield, that vote doesn't actually mean anything, so just give Maura Healey a little bit of time.
I mean, imagine that. The state is going to sue a town for holding a vote. Like, what?
Well, it's an attack on democracy. If you don't vote the way Maura Healey and Campbell want you to vote, that is an attack on democracy. By the way, we're getting some great texts today, Jared. And one of the texters wanted me to know about Pennsylvania. And I had told the audience in the opening that Nikki Haley got 155,000 votes in the Pennsylvania primary last night. And 617 says, you should know that Pennsylvania has never been Trump country. I did know that. I'm just saying that I didn't realize how anti-Trump, like if you're voting for Nikki Haley, you hate Trump. At least I think a lot of people who are voting for Nikki Haley at this point have a real axe to grind with Trump. The only way he wins there is if all the rural conservatives show up to vote, and their Dem political machine has always been one of the most corrupt. It was probably Dem crossovers that voted for Haley because they don't like Biden. Good point. Good point by 617. And another person says A.G. Campbell is going to run for governor in 2026 when Healey and Wu contend for the 2026 Markey Senate seat. She is padding up her far left resume to win the Dem primary. Yeah, I know in Milton, the zoning issue is huge. I was talking to a woman this weekend. She was door knocking and she came to my house and she said to me, how do you feel about the zoning, the MBTA zoning? And my husband said, we don't like it. We don't want it. Because we live, I'm not going to go into that, but he said, we don't like it. And she said, oh, okay, good. So then we had a conversation. She was on the same side as us. And she finally looked at us. We talked for like 20 minutes about everything. We start going into religion and all these different things. And finally, she realizes what time it is. And she says, I got to get going. I'm preaching to the choir here. I've got work to do. I've got to win some people over. And I said, good luck on this street. It's not going to be easy. We're in a yes area for the zoning. 844-500-4242. By the way, did you see yesterday, before I do the poll question here, Biden was at an abortion rally, or, you know, he's at a Florida rally where he was going to talk about abortion. And before he gets up to talk about abortion, good Catholic that he is, he decides to do the sign of the cross before talking about how pro-abortion he is. Devout Catholic Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. does a sign of the cross before he gets up and fawns over women's reproductive rights, a.k.a. your right to get an abortion, which is written somewhere in the Constitution. I just can't find it. I just can't find the word abortion in the Constitution. But the reason I find this kind of amusing is because a lot of people are saying it's sacrilegious, you know, it's vile. It is, totally. And it's especially rich coming from someone, like I said, who's constantly telling us about his rosary beads and how often he goes to church and how seriously he takes in all this stuff. But we all knew that. We all knew he was I think calling him a cafeteria Catholic is an insult to cafeteria Catholics. But the part of this that drives me crazy is I'm like, well, why wouldn't he do the sign of the cross before praising abortion? It's not like the Pope would mind. It's not like a lot of the higher-ups in the Catholic Church are going to care. I know some of them have been saying, all right, we've officially reached the point where we have to speak out against Joe Biden. But for the most part, if the top dog isn't going to mind you doing that, isn't going to say that's sacrilegious, then why not? Who's going to stop them? 844-500-4242. The other people, the people in the Catholic Church, and it's not everybody, so don't take it like that, but I do kind of feel as though eventually, if you keep kind of sitting on the sidelines and saying, well, you know, he feels this way, but this has got to be your top issue. If you're not going to speak out against a president who can't even put a limit on abortion, then don't be surprised when he's doing the sign of the cross before he gets up on stage to talk about abortion. Don't come to me and act like you're surprised. I didn't vote for him. 844-500-4242. Okay, now, without further ado, let's do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. He's the best. His whole team is excellent. And you should also check out his Meet the Experts. I think you guys would really enjoy it. If you're someone who's a little bit nervous about calling, you want to get to know him a little bit better, get to know his general vibe. He's a really sweet guy, and you can really get that takeaway from the podcast, how he does a great job with the interview. So listen to that Meet the Experts and call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com to get the ball rolling on getting the smile of your dreams. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is how many streaming services do you have? 1, 2 to 3, 3 plus, or I still have cable?
The reason I bring this up is because the Wall Street Journal did a piece a few days ago about how Netflix... Sorry, I just saw a text that was distracting. Whenever someone sends in like a long paragraph, it catches my eye.
Unlimited data.
I'm not encouraging it. Don't send in these long paragraphs, but it does catch my eye. So the Wall Street Journal does this piece about how Netflix is now restricting their accounts so that you have to have an account. You have to pay for it in order to log in. You can't, you know, basically leech off somebody else's account. Very bad news for me personally, because I was using my mom's account, my mom and dad's account, for a very, very long time. I would watch Bridgerton. I would watch a lot of these shows. I enjoyed that period of time, Jared, where I was able to be a leech. I'm sad that it has come to an end. And so what happened in my house, at least, was that when I figured out that I couldn't be on my parents' account for Netflix, I did not sign up for a new one. I just figured, I'll be okay. I've got a lot of other streaming services. I'll be fine. But according to the Wall Street Journal, this worked. I thought people were going to be so angry at Netflix and stand with me and say, you know, bleep you. You don't get to take away my free ride. This is the one thing I'm getting on the arm and you're taking it away from me. But no, people actually got booted off their parents' Netflix accounts and they bought their own. Imagine that. So this got me thinking, how many streaming apps do people have? I have HBO Max, one. And YouTube TV, too. So I have two streaming apps. What about you, Jared?
I have... So it's kind of weird.
Uh-oh.
Because my brother pays for the Disney Plus that I use. I pay for the Netflix that he uses.
Okay, so I'm going to say, how many do you pay for?
Do I pay for? I pay for... I think I only pay for two. I pay for Paramount Plus, because they have all the Star Trek content, and I can watch Patriots games on there when they're on CBS, and Netflix, I believe, are the only two that I pay for.
So you're doing better than if you were paying for a cable package, because this is what people are saying now. They're saying this a la carte streaming where everyone's buying like 6 or 7 streamers is basically the equivalent of what it used to be to pay for cable. Now, what I will say is, you just brought up the Patriots. That is a point of contention, because in my house, Will loves to watch the Bruins, and they make it nearly impossible to watch the Bruins. And I don't understand. All I know is last year we did a dinner with VIPs. We went to Aviva Trattoria. We had a really fun time. And Will's quiet. You've met Will before, Jared. He's a quiet guy. And I kind of thought like, oh, I hope that we all have something in common. We can, you know, discuss things beyond politics, because that only goes so far at a dinner. And we sit down, and the husband of the VIP winner says something like, well, I was going to watch the Bruins game later tonight, but, you know, I swear they're conspiring against me not to let me watch it. All these different apps. And then Will came alive. And the two of these guys talked about this grand conspiracy to stop them from watching the Bruins for like 30 minutes. And I thought, okay, so it's not just Will. This is something people feel.
Yeah, and specific to the Bruins, the network that carries them made them, they have their own app, or they did. And the price was astronomical to get the app. I mean, it was like $135 a month. Or something like that, just to get like live Bruins games. And you had to watch the filler of like the fishing shows and the gambling shows. Like, I don't want to pay for that.
Yeah. And I did say to Will, I said, whatever you have to do, whatever the cost is, get it, because this is a passion of yours. And he said, no, I can't justify it. And plus,
I understand that. Yeah.
He's like one of these Bruins guys where he watches, he doesn't like paint his face or anything. I don't want to blow up his spot totally, but I can tell you he doesn't do that. But you know what he does do? There's been nights where the Bruins will be on, and I'll say, like, you can watch the rest of it. I can't deal with this. They go into overtime, and he starts going into this thing of, oh, they always lose in overtime. This is what they do. This is what the Bruins do. They lose in overtime. And that's when I say, okay, I'm going to bed. Good night. And then he'll come back in later. He'll come in the room, and I'll say, did they lose? Because he seems so down. I'll say, did they lose? And he says, no, they won, but it was too close. And I'm like, what are we talking about? Do you have money on this that you're not telling me? All of this to say, I think the sports do play an element of the streaming. I'm going to say, Jared, I have two apps. What are the results? We're getting a lot of votes in this poll question.
Yes, we are. 42% actually say they still have cable. 20% say they have 2 to 3 streaming services. 19% say they only have 1 streaming service. 18% say 3+.
Okay, 413 says Nesson 360 is the app, and 360 is the price per year. Just got a half-price deal on it for the year. YouTube TV, Netflix Prime, and the YouTube TV has some premium. A lot of people are texting in about their streaming. Very good to know. I think you just have to figure out a way to get as much as you can with the streaming without paying more than you would for cable. Because then it becomes like, what is the point of all this? What are we doing? 844-500-4242. That's always my question. What are we doing? That should be the name of this show.
What are we doing?
What are we doing, man? When we come back, we're going to get into Professor Scott Galloway. I want to make sure we have enough time. This is the NYU business professor who he made so many great points when he was on with Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, which I thought was impossible in and of itself. I didn't think you could make a good point on Morning Joe, but he was able to. And he talks about how if this was any other group acting this way and it wasn't against Israel, this would never be allowed. We will play that sound for you when we return. 844-500-4242. So much more to get to that does not involve streaming. That was a little bit of an aside, but we will get to everything else when we come back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
All right, we're not going to be able to get all the clips in of this professor from NYU, but we'll start it up, and we have the rest of the show. We also have Ben Weingarten joining us at 1:30. He actually went to Columbia. He has a lot to say. He saw what was happening, and he said, this is not good. So we'll have Ben Weingarten on a little bit later. He's always a wealth of knowledge, so I'm excited about that. But let's get to Professor Scott Galloway. This is what he had to say. First, you know what? Let's give Joe Scarborough some credit, Jared. It's been forever since that's happened. Joe Scarborough set up Professor Scott Galloway with some actual facts, believe it or not. Cut one, please.
You know, 2 million people have been killed in the Sudan civil war. I haven't seen a protest at NYU for that. Assad killed 500 Arabs. I didn't see colleges burned down. 500,000 Arabs killed by Assad. Saddam Hussein killed over 1 million Muslims in wars. I gassed them. I didn't see protests there. And yet your school is shut down right now because Israel is responding to the worst attack against Jews worldwide since the Holocaust. Help us sort through that.
And we can debate that response.
I don't know algebra, but I'm pretty good at the common denominators here and why there's no common denominators in all of these. It's just that it's Jews defending their homeland. Because if you look at the numbers, even with American wars, they don't add up.
Yeah, and I really do think that the reason behind it, like if you look at why is it that all of those other genocides and mass casualties and wars did not drum up this kind of activism from this group? It's because they don't know what they're even there for. They just know that it's anti-Semitic. They just know that they're on the side of the Hamas terrorists. I really do think that is the theme with these protests. And I remember when this first started, Libby Evans was on the show from the Postmillennial. I actually, Jared, just sent you a cut from the Postmillennial on Howie's Twitter, which I want to play right now to kind of further drive home this point that ignorance is really the common denominator here. But Libby Evans was on the show right after October 7th, and we were discussing how these demonstrations popped up so quickly. And she said, all of these protesters just put down their global warming posters and picked up their anti-Israel posters. It's just, they're sheep. They think that they're doing something so important. They think that they are fighting this fight that, they're going to change the course of what Bibi Netanyahu does in Israel. And they're completely ignorant. They don't even know what this conflict is about. Look no further. This is from the Postmillennial, Libby's, the publication Libby writes for. Take a listen to this protester being interviewed. Is this at Columbia, Jared? I think this is at Columbia.
This is actually at NYU.
Perfect.
She's
even
from
better.
Columbia.
Even better. Take a listen.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
I wish I was more educated, the other girl says. Oh, don't we all? Don't we all, sweetheart? That is how we feel about this entire thing. We wish you were all more educated, or maybe less educated, because the education thing doesn't seem to be helping. It's really, at this point, it's just a group of people who want to all get together and hate Jews and, maybe see a fire start up or, it's too bad that there wasn't like a music festival they could go to, because it seems like they would be just as happy doing that. If you guys just want to go camping all together, you can do that without making it anti-Semitic. You can use your tents for other things. It doesn't have to be this.
Yeah, you can have another Woodstock.
That's really what all of these people seem like they're craving. And this is the only outlet. So they go, oh, we'll go to, I heard about it. Heard it from a friend who, I got a call from my friend. I was at Columbia. I got a call from my friend. She said, they're having these protests at NYU. The cops are here. It's crazy. We're all dancing with yarn, and I came running. Again, I know I keep going back to this. Nobody's perfect, but the parents of these students. Imagine turning on the TV, and this is what your money is paying for. In some cases, it's not their, it's our money, but still. The amount of pride that must fill your heart when your child says, I don't know why I came to this Jew-hating rally, but... I heard it was going to be fun. We'll be right back.